Hello and welcome. I'm Brian Kennedy, and you are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Public Radio. We begin with a look at the latest news. The ruling Social Democrats have slipped further in opinion polls, despite replacing the Prime Minister, the CVVM agency showed on Thursday. The poll was conducted between April 18th and April 25th, during which time former Regional Development Minister Jiří Paroubek replaced Stanislav Gross as Prime Minister, amid allegations of unethical behavior surrounding Mr. Gross's personal finances and his wife's business dealings. The new CVVM poll puts the Social Democrats at 10.5% support, compared with 14.5% support 1 month ago. In related news, users of Czech Public Television's internet site have named former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross the third greatest scoundrel in Czech history, behind the late communist leader Klement Gottwald and the current Czech president Václav Klaus. Revelers from the northwest of England could be given codes of conduct to stop them from causing trouble in European cities, the Manchester Evening News reported. The move follows an explosion in binge drink-related disorder in continental stag night hotspots like Prague, said the newspaper. Police in Prague say that 20% of all weekend crime in the Czech capital involves British men on stag nights. Czech tourism officials estimated there are some 500,000 British sex and booze tourists each year, said the Daily, and Manchester city councillors are now looking at ways of cracking down on troublemakers. In other news, the Czech foreign trade balance posted a 6 billion crown surplus in March, the equivalent of about $230 million. It was the best result for the month since 1993 and confirms a long-term favorable trend, said the Minister of Industry and Trade. Car and machinery exports accounted for the bulk of the surplus. The Czech currency, the crown, strengthened on the news to 23.12 crowns to the US dollar. The documentary Death in Gaza by British cameraman James Miller, who was killed during the film's shooting in 2003, has received the top prize at a human rights film festival in Prague. A total of 120 films were shown since April 27th at this year's seventh edition of the festival, organized by the Czech charity People in Need. The jury at Prague's One World 2005 Human Rights Documentary Film Festival said it appreciated the film's professional approach, its humanism, and its dynamic action. The film documents the Israeli army's destruction of hundreds of homes in the Palestinian territories. And finally, a look at the weather. Partly cloudy skies and scattered rain showers is in the forecast for the remainder of the week. Daytime temperatures aren't expected to go above 15 degrees Celsius. That's the end of the news. Stay tuned for the rest of our program.
This is Radio Prague. My name's Dita Siedu, and today, who is the Czech Republic's new Prime Minister? World War II veterans and historians reflect on the liberation of West Bohemia, and what impact has EU membership had on the country? And, of course, a roundup of the main business news and some culture as we visit the One World Documentary Film Festival in the arts. Stay tuned. After weeks of hot debate and political turmoil, the Czech Republic is finally settling down with its new government, or rather new old government, as it differs only very little from the previous one. The coalition partners remain the same. Only a handful of ministers have been replaced. The new prime minister, the former minister for local development, Jiří Paroubek, declares that the new team does not plan any big changes. The government still has to survive a vote of confidence in parliament next week, and there are still several dissidents within the ruling Social Democratic Party whose votes seem less than secure. Martin Mikulé met the prime minister and asked him whether he saw this as a potential danger.
It was true, these problems with certain non-conformists between our deputies until yesterday. On the meeting of our parliamentary club, we spoke with all deputies, and it is possible to say at this moment that we have full support of all our deputies.
But now, after the difficulties that the last government went through, probably you cannot be sure that every single deputy will support you in the future. Would you be willing then to make any concessions to the Communist Party and to cooperate in different issues?
A very open say, Communist Party has in Czech Parliament one-fifth of all deputies, and it is a great power, and it is necessary to calculate with this power, and it is normal thing to negotiate with them. I thought last week that I will speak before the vote of confidence next week. I will speak also with the leaders of both opposition political parties, I mean Civic Democratic Party and Communists.
Do you think that sometimes in the future, probably not in this election term, but sometimes in the future the Social Democrats should cooperate with the Communists more? That means to make a coalition maybe?
Yes, it could be generally possible. It could be possible the similar model as, for example, in France or in Italy. But at this moment is Social Democratic Party in public opinion polls weaker political party in comparison with Communists, and it is necessary to change. I cannot imagine that Social Democratic Party could go to the left-oriented coalition after 5 or 9 years after elections if Communist Party would be bigger or stronger political party than Social Democrats.
You have taken this post of the Prime Minister in the last year of the term, so you have only 1 year to go to manage the program of this government. Do you really believe that you will manage to fulfill your program within the year?
I think it is necessary to say that we prepared many acts, many new acts, which will very rapidly the political and social life in our country. I mean the new tax law, new laws in housing constructions and many other branches. And it is necessary to finish this work on these laws. And I need a few months for this purpose. I mean 4 or 5 months. And after that, it is possible to say that our work could be valued of our citizens well.
And that was the Czech Republic's new Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek speaking with Martin Mikule. You're listening to Radio Prague's English service.
Along came 2 Nazi soldiers whom I captured. What shall I do with these 2 soldiers? I couldn't think. I decided to lock them in the chicken coop. I hope they're still there.
Leo Hymas, an American World War II veteran, remembering the liberation of the West Bohemian city of Plzeň in May 1945. Mr. Hymas was one of many veterans who, along with historians and politicians, took part in the Plzeň Talks conference on Thursday on the liberation of Southwest Bohemia as part of the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. Erik Peterson was a tank driver in the 16th Armored Division.
We were not allowed to speak to civilians. And then General Patton said, on to Czechoslovakia and fraternization. And boy, did the American Army fraternize with the Czechs. I was very happy then. And we continued on, and that night we saw the celebration in Pilsen with the 50 calibers shooting up in the air, celebrating the end of hostilities in Pilsen. I'm with you all the way, and I would fight for you again any time your freedom is taken away with the support of America.
For many, the joy at the liberation of 1945 was short-lived. 3 years later, in 1948, the communist government came to power, bringing with it 40 years of authoritarian rule. World War II veteran Earl Ingram.
I became a career soldier and was stationed in Germany. And many times I looked across what I considered an unnatural border. And I knew that wonderful people, freedom-loving people, lived on the other side of that border. At that time, in the early 60s, there was little hope that I would see those wonderful people again. But I'm here today, and being here simply proves that we never know one day what is going to happen next.
The question that remains open is whether the communist takeover could have been avoided if Allied rather than Soviet forces had liberated the larger part of the country. Jeffrey Clark is from the U.S. Army Center of Military History in Washington, D.C. He believes the fate of the Czech people could have been different if General Dwight Eisenhower had balanced out military and political objectives.
Appeals by Czech leaders for immediate Allied assistance to Prague were warmly supported by Winston Churchill and by General Patton. Eisenhower said no. He said, no, we must honor the agreements that we made with the Soviet Union. For Eisenhower and his political superiors in Washington, cooperation with the Soviet Union was still regarded as vital for the post-war peace of Europe at that time and for the continued war against Japan.
And don't forget that this Sunday marks the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War, and Radio Prague will be looking at some of the main events during the war in Czechoslovakia in our weekend specials. But now back to today's program. This time last year, the Czech Republic joined the EU amid much fanfare. But now that the country has been an EU member for over a year, what effect has it actually had? A conference entitled One Year On was held by Czech Europhiles in Prague on Wednesday with a view to answering this very question. To find out how the Europhiles feel a year into the EU, Radio Prague's Colleen O'Connor went along and brought back this report.
Monica McDonough-Pajarova of the pro-European Anno Pro Evropu organization there, opening a conference aimed at assessing the impact of EU enlargement. The conference included participants such as Czech EU Commissioner Vladimir Špidla and Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda. This event was indeed a timely one. Although Czechs are still generally supportive of the European Union, there are many who would tell you that not a lot has actually changed since they joined a year ago. It's not a view that is shared by Monica McDonough-Pajarova.
I think there is a lot of impact, not only in the economic area where we expected it, like the raising standards of living, the investments from foreign investors, etc., but especially in the political area. I think that we already can see some influence of the civilized European political environment, and also what I appreciate very much myself. For the first time in Czech history, we are sitting at the same table as equal partners, and we can take our part in the decision-making of European future.
Czech journalist Tomáš Kilvaňa, who chaired one of the discussions at the conference, is also guardedly optimistic about how things have panned out since the EU expanded last year.
The most important thing is this creation of a new political slash cultural space, which is enlarged and which will help the Czechs to see things differently, not just from their own Czech Central European perspective, but from the Europe-wide perspective, and that will help especially the younger generation, which is now able to travel and willing to travel and educate itself abroad. So it will slowly but surely change the entire culture, but you can't really expect these changes to be perceived and felt after 1 year only.
The shadow of Czech President Václav Klaus, who is a loud Eurosceptic voice on the Czech political scene, hung over the conference. But with polls suggesting that most Czechs are still pro-European after voting overwhelmingly in favour of EU membership in 2003, Monika McDonough-Pajarova thinks her president is out of touch with the popular mood.
Me, as a Czech citizen, I feel sometimes really ashamed, and I think to myself, he is not speaking for me. And I think a politician, somebody who is paid from our taxes, should respect, even if he doesn't like it, should respect the opinion of the people expressed in the first historic free referendum. And if he doesn't, then I really don't see the logics in it. Even as a president, he is not the person who should create the foreign policy. The foreign policy is created by the government, and the government is, with all its mistakes, a very active pro-European government.
Monika McDonough-Pajarova ending that report by Colleen O'Connor. In a moment, the One World Documentary Film Festival. But first, some of the latest economics and business news of the country with Brian Kennedy.
Thanks, Dieter. The lower house of parliament this week adopted a number of key draft laws that will directly affect most businesses operating in the Czech Republic. To begin with, MPs softened a total ban on the so-called Schwarz system, the popular practice among employers of stringing together temporary contracts to avoid hiring full employees. By hiring such so-called temporary workers, companies can save as much as $4,000 per year each year in social and other taxes. Under the draft law, a construction firm, for example, is now free to hire a carpenter in back-to-back contracts to work at his home using his own tools. But the firm would have to make him an employee if the same carpenter came to the work site and used the firm's tools. Deputies also gave final approval to a law for standardizing and speeding up the process of making entries into the commercial registry. If the process takes longer than 5 days, the entries will now become automatic. A proposal to introduce cash registers with fiscal memory for entrepreneurs as of January 2007 also was passed. The idea there is to ensure that taxes are paid on all cash transactions. Deputies also approved a so-called squeeze-out provision that allows owners of 90% or more of stock in a company to force small shareholders to sell them their stakes at a price determined by an appraiser appointed by the majority owner. Meanwhile, a study by the World Bank has shown that creditors in the Czech Republic suffer the worst rate of return among all 25 EU member states when dealing with bankrupt debtors. On average, a creditor in the Czech Republic gets back only 17% of the amount owed. In Finland, for example, the return is more than 90%. And speaking of bankruptcies, Health Minister Milada Emerova will reportedly ask the government to have the state bailout agency, Česká konsolidační agentura, take over some $175 million worth of debt owed by VZP, the state's general health insurance company. We end on a positive note. The Czech foreign trade balance posted a 6 billion crown surplus in March, or the equivalent of about $230 million. It was the best result for the month since 1993 and confirmed a long-term favorable trend, so said the Minister of Industry and Trade. The Czech currency strengthened on the news to 23.12 crowns to the US dollar.
Thanks, Brian. And now on to this week's arts with Martin Mikule.
During the past 8 days, Prague inhabitants have had a chance to see a number of good documentary films from different parts of the world. The One World Human Rights Film Festival, which is organized by the Czech charity organization People in Need, has again featured many documentaries bringing from different crisis spots worldwide, reminding us that our comfortable life here in the Czech Republic is not a matter of course everywhere in the world. During the 7 years of its existence, the festival has become widely popular not only among filmgoers but also with filmmakers. The festival founder Igor Blažević believes the fact that the event is organized by an active charity organization has made it more convincing for documentary filmmakers and has helped to build its reputation.
In a one world, the filmmakers and the producers feel that there is a people in need as the organization with the big energy behind that, and that we are doing a good festival, but we also, let's say, are trying to put documentary film to play important role in awareness building, in somehow working for the better world, let's say. And that good energy, which is within the festival, is really attractive for the filmmakers. So we are getting a lot of submissions, and the submissions of the really most prominent documentary filmmakers.
Igor Blažević sees the One World Festival as a vehicle to draw attention to the challenges of today's world. But the event doesn't just want to inform about crisis events, it also endeavors to encourage people to become active and willing to help as well.
One World is not just about, let's say, testimonies. There are certain people suffering around the world. There are certain problems and challenges we are facing all. But One World is also really a very strong statement about capacity of each single of us to make a change, let's say, because the whole people in need is about that trust and that self-confidence that we should not wait that any superheroes or any politburos or anybody else, including our own non-elected politicians should solve the problems of this world, that we simple ordinary citizens can make a difference, go to the war regions or help our neighbors who are in need and make this world a better world. And the whole one world is about that.
Being himself from a crisis-affected territory, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Igor Blažević started to work for people in need in the beginning of the 1990s. In the course of time, he came to the conclusion that film is the best tool how to encourage people not to stay indifferent to events that surround us, even though they are far away.
I'm from originally from Bosnia and Herzegovina, from Sarajevo. I'm living here in Czech Republic since 91. I came here before the war in Bosnia, and because of the war I started to be engaged in the activities of the people in need, because people in need really started during the war in former Yugoslavia and in Nagorno-Karabakh. And basically I have been already in that moment here, and I started to be involved, let's say, with in activities of the people in need. Within the people in need I have always been very much, let's say, engaged in awareness building activities, and then in one moment let's say we realized that film can be far more efficient communication tool than anything else, let's say, so that the film festival can be really a cornerstone of our awareness building activities.
इधर चला मैं उधर चला जाने कहां मैं किधर चला और फिसल गया ये तूने क्या किया.
As the festival brings views from different crisis areas, the films are often divided into categories according to regions. So this year you could have seen films in categories such as Iraq in the Spotlight, African Shadows, Fragments of Bosnia, Made in China, or North Korea. In the North Korea section, a film called Seoul Train got a great deal of attention among filmgoers. The documentary describes the stories of people who try to escape famine in the North Korea by crossing the border to China. In cases where the Chinese authorities catch a North Korean refugee on their territory, they are sent back home where they are severely punished. The stories of the refugees are very touching. The film often takes you into dangerous situations shot by a hidden camera. I asked the director, Jim Butterworth, whether he didn't feel it was too risky to do this kind of illegal filming in a totalitarian country.
It was definitely risky and dangerous, but, you know, it was far more dangerous for the people we were coming in contact with. So for us as Americans, I'm not sure what they would have done to us. I don't know. Fortunately, we don't have to answer that question. But definitely, if we had led authorities to the people that we were coming in contact with, whether they were activists or refugees, if they had been caught, you know, it's life and death for them.
Even though Jim Butterworth is not a professional filmmaker, in fact this is his first film, Seoul Train became very successful and has been shown at about 40 film festivals around the world. Jim Butterworth believes that human rights films are growing in popularity.
I'm really glad to see, though, human rights film festivals grow in popularity. It's also great to see human rights documentaries move beyond where they have been. Human rights documentaries were always powerful, but they were never top-notch documentaries, really. Now we're seeing a whole new era of documentaries, human rights documentaries, that actually compete with regular films and mainstream documentaries.
In his view, the One World Festival in Prague is proof, as it screened a lot of exceptional films.
This One World Festival in Prague has a great selection of high-quality human rights documentaries. And this gets to what I was saying about the state of human rights documentaries. It's much, much higher than it ever has been. These are not films that you used to watch human rights documentaries at 3 in the morning on TV. You know, when you couldn't sleep, you turn on the TV and there was some really bad human rights documentary. It's not like that anymore. These are primetime films. These are films that stand right next to mainstream Hollywood films.
Michaela Klečková from the One World Festival team says that visitors have always been interested in the best-known crisis areas, but this time they have also shown a lot of interest in films from other categories. Different workshops and other additional events have also been widely attended.
There is always a big interest in topics like Iraq, Afghanistan, Israel, and such countries where the conflicts are still very vivid. But there were also many films from other areas which are not in the focus of media, and they were also very visited by people, for example, Rwanda or any other African countries where conflicts are, or we had a group of films focused on AIDS problematic, and it was also connected with other with debates and with exhibitions, and it was visited by the people a lot.
Every year, One World has several competition categories. Each of them is evaluated by a separate jury. This year, the main award went to the Norwegian film My Beloved Child by Britt Jorunn Hundsnes, that in a very sensitive way touches the problem of sexual abuse of children. The competition and the Prague part of the festival is already over, but if you are still interested in seeing some of the documentaries, they are still going to be screened in a number of other towns around the Czech Republic up until May the 14th. And you can find out more at www.oneworld.cz.
And that's all from the Radio Prague English Language Service. My name is Dita Asiu. Take care, and don't forget, this weekend will be all full of Radio Prague specials on the Second World War. So tune in and join us then.